from Matthew 24 and on, Jesus is actually starting to prepare. He's preparing his disciples for his departure. And he comes up with about three parables. And the first one beginning at the end of Matthew 24 with the faithful and wise and the evil servant. All right. And basically, you know, in that he's describing, say, hey, you know, be ready, and how we to basically carry ourselves. Because he's letting us know throughout all these parables that he is going to be delayed. It's going to be a while before he comes, right? And I talked about it before that well, 2 Peter mentions that they're going to be scoffers, saying, you know, you've been saying about the Lord's coming, but that's okay, because his people knows that he's coming. And we have to be faithful and remain faithful and do what he's called us to do, right? So now it brings us to Matthew 25, where the 10 virgins, and basically the meaning of the parable with the 10 virgins is to be ready. Right now, when it comes to the parable of the talents, Jesus wouldn't leave us to say, well, be ready, and not tell us how to be ready, right? And that's what this parable here is, the parable of the talents. It's about readiness. Right. What we should do, or, you know, or how we should carry ourselves while we are waiting for his return. Amen. Because we are not supposed to just be sitting and doing nothing. Right. And then just coming to the church and just getting fed. And that's all we do. Because for those that don't know, that's what the Dead Sea does. The Dead Sea takes it all in, but doesn't give anything out. Right. And we have to learn to come in, take and get what we get in, and then give it out. Amen. All right. So before we get started, the talents here. The talents here, I know in our modern day vocabulary, we know talent to be basically like a skill set. But talent here is actually referring to money, right? But it's just not limited to money. And I know me personally, when I've heard this parable taught in churches, it usually refers back to money a lot of times. But it can be money, it can be our skill sets, our abilities, it could be our resources, it can also be our authority, our leadership, right? So those are things that we have to remember. So how many know that, you know, we need to heed to the word more so than our feelings and our emotions, right? And, you know, and that's good that we say amen, because I did it again. I read an article online, and then I went to post. I made about two posts on there, and the first post was actually my opinion on it, right? So I expected to get some likes and dislikes. That's okay, because it's my opinion. And then I posted again after reading some more, and it was in reference to, I'll just give a gist, I'm not going to go into all the details, but it's a reference to a young lady that apparently got terminated from a particular job a couple years ago, and she said she didn't agree with some of the things that were going on in there, and what they were trying to celebrate, this particular company. So needless to say, I came back after reading some of the posts, and all I did was I basically said what I said, that, you know, we can't give in. Well, I didn't say it like that. Take that back. I said, you know, some of you are getting caught up in your feelings and your emotions more so than what the scripture says, right? And I talked about how, you know, we probably need to go back and read Romans 1, right? And then 1 Corinthians as well. And I gave some verses in there. But do you know I got some dislikes on that? Just basically just giving the word, right? Because nowadays we don't want to submit to the word. For whatever reason, we don't want to submit in the word. And we have to be careful of that. Okay. So now, we there in Matthew 25? We should be. I done talked enough. All right. So beginning at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. So let's start right there. So whenever we see, as we continue to read, whenever we see man or Lord, it's actually referring to Jesus. Okay, so he says, a man traveling to a far country. So what does it say here? Called his own servants, right? His own servants. So remember that every servant that listens here belongs to Jesus. Okay, and he delivered them his goods, not our goods. Okay, so remember that. Verse 15, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. to another one, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the five talents went and traded with them and made another five talents. And likewise, he who had received two gained two more also. But, there's that word but again, he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I have gained five more talents besides them. Verse 21. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Verse 30. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. 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 All right. So, going back up to the beginning, as I mentioned here, all these servants here belong to the Lord, right? So now he says this. He says, look, he has given to each one according to their own ability, right? So it really doesn't matter if one got five, one got two, and one got one. They were supposed to do and supposed to work according to their ability, not according to the other one's ability. And sometimes we can find ourselves looking at other people, looking at other churches, looking at our own personal ministry, saying, you know what? I want a ministry like this person, right? Or I want what this person has, or I want what this person has in reference to a job or something like that. But we have to do what God has called each and every one of us to do. And sometimes we can lose sight of that because according to the natural realm, some people can appear to be more successful than others. Now, let's just stick with that in the scriptures, right? So let's take a look at Paul. Let's take a look at Peter. And let's take a look at Philip, right? So to most people in the church, we will look at the Apostle Paul as being more successful than Philip. Why? Because Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament. But according to God, as long as Philip did what he was supposed to do according to his ability, he wasn't supposed to be like Paul. He wasn't supposed to go and establish all the churches and the ministries that Paul did. But he was supposed to do what God called him to do. These are the things that we have to remember, because when we get caught up and start looking at what other people have, now we begin to get stuck. Yes. And we start looking like, oh, I'm not successful. We don't measure our success based on this world and what we have in this world. We measure our success on being obedient to what the Lord Jesus Christ is asking each and every one of us to do. And God has given each and every one of us abilities, skill sets, authorities, jobs to do certain things. So stop looking at the other person and worry about what you're supposed to do. Because if you're worried about what somebody else is doing, then guess what? You're just going to be standing still. And you're going to be like this unprofitable servant. And what does he say in verse 30? Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. Yeah. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Outer darkness is not good. That's not describing heaven, folks. That's not describing heaven. But at the beginning, they were all servants. Yeah. But he's saying, look, cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why? Because that servant was more concerned about himself instead of doing the Lord's will. God never called us to say, and it doesn't mean that We're all supposed to do the same thing. We've talked about this before, because 1 Corinthians 12 talked about we all have different assignments. Yeah. So why are we always putting pressure on people? I've talked about this before, putting pressure on people to do what you've been called to do, right? So I remember hearing somebody tell me this a while back, years ago, and he was called to evangelism. And then he was a part of a particular church, and he kept asking the pastor, said, look, can we go out and do street witnessing and things like that? And the pastor was like, no, I'm not. That's not me, right? So what that person eventually did, he said, you know what? I'm going to go out, and I'm going to just do it on my own. But see, here's the problem in that, right? Now, to us, when we hear that, and even back then, I was like, yeah, okay, I get it, right? But as I've grown older and wiser, the problem was that person that was called an evangelist just went out and just witnessed to people. But he said, well, since they don't want to come out and witness to me, I'm not going to bring them into the church. I'm just going to go share the gospel, lead them to the Lord, and that's it. But if we're supposed to be one body, right, why can't you just go and do that and then bring them into the house of the Lord? Right? Because ultimately, that is the Great Commission. The Great Commission is not us just going out, leading somebody to the Lord. The Bible doesn't say that. The Great Commission is us going out and making disciples. Yes. Right? And how do we make disciples? We bring them in to the house. Why? Because while the evangelist may not be called the pastor or shepherd, that's what the pastor is designed to do. So now, sometimes, we can grow impatient with people. And I talked about this a long time ago. But as a pastor, I will have more patience with people, while some of us may like, look, get rid of them. I'm done with them. Right? Because as a pastor, God has given the shepherd more patience. Yes. To have more patience, more grace, more mercy towards people. Yes. Right? Where brother or sister John or Jane may not have that mercy towards them. So we have to remember that. Yeah. Why? Because we're all supposed to work together. Yeah. We're supposed to be one body. Yeah. Fitly joined together. Amen. Right? So whether the evangelist goes out and brings them in, whether the pastor sits there and shepherds, because ultimately the pastor's primary job is actually to shepherd the people more so than teach. Yeah. Right? Now the pastor's still supposed to teach, but we still have to shepherd. Right, so even when Jesus gives the parable of the lost sheep, right, that pastor's going to go out and look for that person, right? Brother and sister so-and-so may not do that, right? But that's okay, okay? Because we all have been given different modes, different levels of grace on what we will extend to people, right? So everybody's not going to have the same grace that I may have. And that's okay. All right, so the fact that they went and traded here implies direct action. The point is that the good servants felt the responsibility of their assignment and went to work without delay. Right, so what they did was they went to work promptly. They showed perseverance. Their work showed success. They were ready to give an account to their master. Have you ever been a part of a group project? Right. And then let's say we got three here. We got three people in the group. Two people are doing the work. And then when you try to, when it's time to present, the one that didn't do anything, they stand here quiet. Right? They, you know, I was reminded when I was reading this, I did a talent show back in middle school. And it was an embarrassing talent show, because what happened was we did a song from the Temptations. Treat It Like a Lady. That's what it was. And we were lip singing to that, and it was me, and then we had one that was doing the lead singer, and then we had me and two other guys, and we were trying to rehearse the day before, but then it got late, and then we're like, all right, we got to go. And then the one that was doing lead singing, he said, all right, I'm gonna come up with the steps, and then we'll come back, and then we'll rehearse it the next day. Well, guess what? We didn't rehearse it the next day. And then when it was time to go on, he said, we're all looking at each other in the background. We're like, what do we do? He said, look, y'all just do something. But it was obvious we had not been prepared. Only one person knew what we were doing. So for the rest of the school year, we all got laughed at and joked at and things like that. I was like, oh, I can't wait to get out of middle school, right? But, you know, that's what happens. But that's what happens when we're not prepared. All right, that's why I told that story. But see, here's the thing. Whether one made five and made five more talents, and the other one made two and made two more talents, they were still blessed the same. It wasn't a matter, because Jesus says what? He says what? Look at verse 21. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. He said that both to the one that made five more and the one that made two. I will make you ruler over many things, not just in this life. Right? But when we get to heaven. Right? So we're not living for this life. But how we live for this life is by being obedient to do what He's called each and every one of us to do. Right? So what, and Marshall prays it all the time, right? About having Christian teachers, Christian doctors, right? What it will be like if we can have Christians in these positions. One who's not just treating you medically, but will also pray with you. Right? And also just being a Christian as a teacher doesn't mean you get up there in the classroom and you start teaching Jesus. No, it's about being an example of Jesus. Because if you go in the classroom and you start teaching Jesus, you're going to be fired because you're not teaching the curriculum. And then you come back and say, well, they're persecuting me because I'm trying to teach people about Jesus. No, you're supposed to be working. You're supposed to be working. God will make an opportunity for you to share Jesus with others. But that's not your primary job, is to be an example to Him in that aspect. So when it's time to go to work, you go to work. Right now, some people can work and still talk at the same time. Right? So my HVAC person, he's a Christian. So when he comes over to service the unit, I'll go in the back and we're talking. Because he can still talk and work, and we're talking about Jesus. And that's okay. But guess what? When he needs to concentrate, he says, all right, I need to focus in on this. All right, so now that's my cue. All right, I'm going to go. I'm going to leave you to your job. All right, but other than that, we're talking, we're sharing things, and that's okay because he has the ability to talk and work at the same time. All right? Sometimes I may have that ability, sometimes I may not, and I may have to cut some people off sometimes. That's okay. But I'm still to be an example of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's given me ability to do certain things. So even when I give a polygraph, right, everybody doesn't have that skill set, and that's okay. But even in the midst of that, I'm still able to pray and share Christ with some people. Now, there's some people that may not want to hear that, but that's okay. They're here for a polygraph. That's what they pay me to do. But the Lord will lead me. I'll be in tune to the Holy Spirit, and he says, okay, talk to him. Or I'll listen to what they may say. It's like, okay, I know who I'm dealing with here. And then now I can share my testimony with them or whatever that the Lord leads me to share with them. Amen. So it says here, after a long time, the Lord came and settled accounts with them. Right? So we know that Jesus, we know he's been gone for a long time, right? Yeah. We're all different ages in here, right? Some of us older than others, right? Yeah. We're still waiting for Jesus, yeah. Right? We're still waiting for him. But when he comes, we're going to have to give an account. Every one of us. Yes, every one of us. And truth be told, scripture shows, whether or not we're saved or unsaved, we're going to have to give an account for what we've done in this body. Amen. Right? And thing about it is, we may go to be with him. Mm. Right? Before he returns. Yeah. And then even so, we're going to have to give an account. I'm going to probably send a link out because of the phone conference that we'll be on with our pastors in Connecticut. He mentioned, anybody heard of Howard Pittman? Well, if not, you'll find out soon enough because I'm going to send the link out. But it's about an hour and 15 minute video. But there's different testimonies on it. And I have been seeing it. I just never watched the video. And the reason why I don't get into videos where people had out of body experiences when they die and things like that. I'm kind of careful. But this one, it's kind of, well, not kind of, it is more so scripturally based, right? And he gives scriptures for what he experienced. So I listened to it for the first time, the podcast, yesterday. And then I listened to it today, the YouTube video. So I'll send the YouTube video out. And then what we'll do is, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, when we come in for Bible study, we'll discuss that. Okay? But the moral of the story is this. He talks about how, because he was a pastor, he was in law enforcement, and he adopted plenty of, I think about 30 kids, him and his wife or so. And he said he had died. He had a heart attack, and he died, and he went to heaven, but he said he couldn't go beyond the wall. And then he's trying to plead his case to get beyond the wall, to get to the Lord. And then he just hears a voice says, all the work you've done for me was an abomination. Right? And the reason why that is, and this part is not in the video, but it was in the podcast, it's the fact that he was doing everything out of his own will. And it wasn't necessary for the Lord. He was, basically, it was works-based. It was works-based. Right? So the things that we do for the Lord has to be for him and not for ourselves. Right? So those are things that we have to remember. So this parable would seem to indicate that our position in the kingdom of God when Jesus comes to establish that kingdom upon the earth will be relative to the faithfulness now to the things of God that God has entrusted into our care. So we have to be faithful to do what God has entrusted for us to do. And if we don't do that, now we could be like that unprofitable servant. If we're thinking that all we're supposed to do is just sit here and do nothing, then we're making it about us. But it has to be about his kingdom, building his kingdom up, his body, and things like that. Amen? Amen. So if God has placed things in my keeping, then I am responsible to be using those things to increase the kingdom of God. And if I am faithful now in those things that God has entrusted to me, then according to that faithfulness will be my position in the coming kingdom. In one of the Gospels, it says, he said to them, Be thou ruler over 10 cities, enter into the joy of thy Lord. That's Luke 19, verse 17. So actually, let's turn to Luke 19. And I'll probably stop after this. Turn off. Luke 19, and we'll begin at verse 11. Amen. Marie's got her Bible training today. Praise God. All right. So Luke 19, beginning at verse 11. This is the parable of the miners. Now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. That certain nobleman, Jesus Christ. Verse 13. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man reign over us. Verse 15. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, and that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to them, you also be over 5 cities. Verse 20. Then another came, saying, Master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. For I feared you, because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the miner from him and give it to him who has 10 miners. But they said to him, Master, he has 10 miners. For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me. So why did Jesus change the details in these two parables? perhaps to emphasize different truths in each. So the main point of this parable is clear. The kingdom will be delayed, so we must concentrate on being faithful servants in the meantime. Our master has gone away to a far country and will one day return with his kingdom. In the meantime, we are commanded to do business with what he has given us until he returns. When our master returns, he will come to reward us according to our faithfulness, and we will be rewarded with different levels of authority in his kingdom. The unfaithful servants were those who thought that because their master was so mighty, he did not need their help. But the issue is not his need of my help. The issue is my need to help him and my need to be a part of his work. See, we should be willing, as children of God, we should be wanting to do his will. Right? And the interesting thing about this parable here is that all 10 of them were given one. All 10 of them were given one. Right? And one made 10. Another one made 5. Another one put it away. So again, working according to their abilities. The meaning is not this to say, well, the one that made 5, hey, he didn't work as hard as the one. No. It goes with the same as the other parable with the 10 talents. You work according to your abilities. It doesn't matter what somebody else has. Do what God has called you to do and what he has equipped you to do. Right? We are not supposed to just, like I said at the beginning, just get saved and do nothing. Because we're going to give an account for the things that we do in this body. So whether or not, the thing about it is this, Corinthians talks about this, whether or not we do it for him, right? Or we're doing it for selfish motives. It will be exposed in the end. And we're supposed to be doing it for him, for his kingdom, for his glorification. Right? Not just trying to make a profit for ourselves. Just like with some of these people, well, send me this amount of money and I will give you this prophetic word. No. That's misusing what he has given you. Right? But we have to be willing to glorify him. Right? And the thing about it is, it doesn't matter how shy or how quiet we are, because guess what? I'm quiet. Right? But I notice from experience is this. The more time I spend with him, the less I become concerned about me and my weaknesses. Amen. So when we become more concerned about our weaknesses, that means we might need to spend a little bit more time with the Lord. Right? Because even the ones that didn't do anything, right? Whether it's the miners or the one with the talent, hey, it was all about them. It was all about selfishness. Because I'm concerned about the Lord, and the Lord doesn't need my help. Well, the Lord needs our help. Because the scripture says, we're what? We're his hands and we're his feet. So how can we say he doesn't need us? He needs us. And how can we say we're salt and light when we make it about ourselves and we're not doing anything? Or we're afraid to share about Jesus. Right? And again, so if we're afraid to share about Jesus, now we probably need to spend more time with him. So the parable of the talents, going back to Matthew 25, highlights the abilities. So although the 5-talent servant and the 2-talent servant had unequal abilities, they were equally pleasing to their master. And that's why they were able to say, hey, well done. Good and faithful. Why? See, because the thing was it not so much how much money that they had. It was more so about them being good and faithful. Yes. Good and faithful. Right? And these are the things that we tend not to look at. Oh, I need this. I need that. I need this to be able to do this. No, you do not. You just need to be good and faithful to the Lord. And he will supply. He will make a way. Right? Don't look at brother or sister so-and-so ministry, what outreach they got going on. Do what God's called you to do. Right? And you don't need... I told a story before about a couple. They want to do outreach, but they will only attend churches that did outreach. Right? That's not working within the kingdom of the body. Because now what you're doing is you're stunting your growth and you're stunting the growth of another church. So how about if you called to do outreach, how about going to a church that may not do outreach And then now you can implement that. Instead of saying, well, you know what? Nah, I'm not going to do that. Or I'm not going to go there, rather, because they don't agree with it. If God called you, God equipped you, do what God called you to do. Right? And again, everybody's not called to do outreach. Right? And that's okay. And the other thing is this. Guess what? You don't necessarily need the church to do that. Go do it. Right? Go do it. Right? You can go with the church's prayers, the church's blessing. Right? And even if it's us, we'll financially support you. Right? Now, if I say no, don't get offended. Because trust me, I'm going to seek the Lord on it. Because I'm just not going to cast the pearls before swine. Amen. Right? Because some of us, we just do stuff in the church. Right? And God ain't calling us to do that. But it's like Howard Pittman said, we're doing it because we think it's God's will, but it's really our will. And because we think, oh, that sounds good. Right? So even when I told the story about the evangelist at that church, it sounds good and natural, but that's not biblical. That's not scriptural. If anything, he was the one that was in pride. Right? Not the pastor. Right? We got to be careful of those things, because a lot of times we say certain things, they sound good, but again, it's appealing to our emotions, our feelings, and things like that. And God's got bigger plans. Right? Because we can't always see what God's trying to do. Amen. So I mean, you know, the Lord, the Bible teaches we're going to live and we're going to reign with Jesus. Right, we're going to live and we're going to reign with him. And, you know, we say all the time that we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Yes. Then we have to do what the Lord is calling each and every one of us to do. Amen. Right, because if you're not doing what you're doing, is you're studying your growth and you're studying the growth of the body of Christ. Amen. Right, and we have to be mindful of that. We have to stop getting caught up in our feelings. I can't do this. I don't feel comfortable in doing it. Well, there's a lot of things I don't feel comfortable in. Right? But we have to do it. I don't feel comfortable being up here. But that's okay. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to be faithful in doing it. So we can say the reward for the first two servants. They received praise from their master. They received a promise of future blessing. They received glory. They receive the joy of the Lord. See, when we're walking in obedience to what the Lord is calling us to do, that's his joy. That's his joy. And see, as we keep going, as we keep being obedient to him, now we become strengthened. And guess what? Now we can do even more. Right? And not only that we do more, now we can help somebody else that may be called to do the same thing. Right? So these are the things that we have to do and we have to be mindful of. And again, we're not supposed to be just coming to church just sitting here. Amen. So here's the thing, right? So as a group, going back to Matthew 25, as a group, they actually did pretty well. They started out with 8 talents and ended up with 15, right? And we would think, just like a group project, right? That'll be good. So, you know, we got to, God judged them individually. Right. So this again goes back to sometimes we're in churches and it's like, hey, we're going to do this and you're going to receive this blessing. Right. Well, think about that, because in that parable there, they were given things as a group, but the Lord judged them as individuals. Right. So just because you may pass out Thanksgiving turkey dinners and you supply some turkeys doesn't mean that the Lord is going to bless you. Because if you're not good and you're not faithful, then guess what? Depart from me. I never knew you. All right. So these are the things that we have to be mindful of. And it's like I said at the beginning, they were all his servants. They were all his servants. But look what he says here. He says, verse 26. But his Lord answered, Matthew 25, sorry. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You wicked and lazy servant. Wicked and lazy. Why? Because you made it about you. And the fact that you didn't want to do anything, and guess what? You don't do anything. Now you do start to become lazy. Right? When you don't work, you start to become lazy. And you got to be mindful of that. Right? We don't want to hear wicked and lazy servant. We rather hear good and faithful. And I forgot the word good there. It means upright, useful, joyful, honorable, pleasant. The word faithful means trusty, can be relied on, one who trusts God. Right? Because now, despite our shortcomings and what we may feel, how we're not equipped to do anything, that's a good thing. Because guess what? When we're not equipped to do something, now we can rely on Him. And He gives us the wisdom. He gives us the discernment to go out and do His will. Right? We don't make it about us. If we make it about us, now we're going to bury it. We're going to bury the giftings and the talents that He's given us, and we're not going to do anything with it. And then we're going to hear wicked and lazy. See, a lot of people don't think laziness is a sin. Laziness is a sin, folks. Laziness is a sin, and we don't want to be associated with that. So he says here, cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. So unprofitable, and you can Google it, you can take this for your notes. It means G888. It's a Greek word. G is for Greek. Alright, it's rios. It means unprofitable, means useless. Good for nothing. That's literally what that word means. Right? Because when you're not doing what he's called you to do, then you're good for nothing. Because we gotta remember, we are the servant. The kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness. There's no in between. And if we're not doing His will, then whose will are we doing? If we're wicked and we're lazy, then we're serving the kingdom of darkness. Jesus. Right? That means we're useless and we're good for nothing. Mm. We're not profitable and not profitable to Him. So in the larger context of Matthew 25, the main point of the parable is clear. Our readiness for Jesus' return is determined by our stewardship of the resources that He has given us. That resources, again, it could be some of us in the body have been blessed financially, right? Some of us have been blessed with certain skill sets, right? I know not to step out of my lane, despite what my wife may say to me sometimes, where I'm not going to be a mechanic, right? Because I'll probably do more damage to the car, right? God has not given me that ability, nor do I have a desire to have that ability, right? That's why I take it to a mechanic, right? But I would love to take it to a Christian. Matter of fact, I found a Christian mechanic because I had a shop that I would take it to, which is a trusted person, but now I found a Christian mechanic that I will take the car to. Right? And it's a Christian family there. Right? Again, because God has given them the ability. Right? And now, their ability, they're going to work on saved people and unsaved people. And as you go in that shop, you'll see Christian things up. Right? That's a good thing. Amen. Right? Because they're using the skill set that God has given them. So some think that readiness for Jesus' return is a very spiritual and abstract thing. It really isn't. It is a matter of being about our business for the Lord. In light of this parable, we must ask ourselves, what have we done with our knowledge, our time, our money, our abilities? See, the sins of omission may ultimately be more dangerous than the sins of commission or what we do. See, when we're not doing anything, that's, according to this parable here, that's just as bad as someone going out and committing works of the flesh. And we don't see it that way. We think that, oh, because I'm saved, I'm doing it. No, we're supposed to be doing work for the Lord. We're supposed to be faithful to Him. And see, now when we're faithful to Him, we could be faithful to man. Right? Whether or not they're saved or whether or not they're unsaved. So now when they see us on the job, now they see our work ethic. So you know what? There's something different about that person, right? Why are you working like that, right? Because we're all getting ready to go. We're all getting ready to leave. Why are you still working, right? Because I'm working unto the Lord. I'm going to be faithful, right? I'm not going to be like everybody else, right? I'm not going to just give out medication like other people may do. No, I'm going to seek the Lord. What does the Lord want me to do, right? These are things that we have to understand. That's our skill sets, our abilities, our time, right? Stop trying to be what somebody else is. Be who God called you to be. Yeah. Because as long as you try to be what somebody else is, then guess what? Look, it's just like the commercial. Everybody not going to be like Mike. Right? Everybody not going to be like Mike. Amen. There's only one Michael Jordan. Right? And we have to remember, we have to be who Christ has called each and every one of us to be. Because we're always going to look at saying, you know what? And that's when the enemy will come in. And our own thoughts, I'm a failure. I'm not doing anything. Right? But that's okay, because Jesus still loves me. But these two parables that we read in Matthew 25 and Luke 19 says otherwise. Right? Because I read to you that they were all his servants. Right? But he says, unprofitable servant. Cast them in the out of darkness. That's definitely not heaven. That's definitely not heaven. Right? So we have to be mindful. So as long as we have breath in these bodies, mother, mother, we got work to do. Amen. We got work to do. Amen. Amen. So let's stop right there. Let's bow our heads.